We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The following program has been pre-recorded. Thanks for tuning in this weekend to Let's Talk Portland, Odyssey Portland's weekly public affairs program. I'm Gary Bloxham. Most of us are animal lovers, and we never want to see animals in distress or an emergency situation. So this weekend, let's talk to an organization who is there to help out. On the show this time, I'd like to welcome Virginia Borden. Virginia is president of On Call Community Rescue for Animals, or Virginia, as you guys like to call it, it's OCRA.
Yep, that's it. It's a little bit easier than the long title.
But it has nothing to do with that weird vegetable thing, right?
No, I do enjoy okra, but it's spelled different. We just like to try and keep it very confusing.
Excellent. Well, Virginia, welcome to Let's Talk Portland, and tell us, what is OCRA?
So OCRA is a nonprofit organization. We've existed for about 6 years, but just in this last year, we've started kind of getting more word of mouth and growing. Basically, our mission is we help transport animals and emergencies for first responders or community members. And that's a pretty vague statement because we do a lot of different stuff, and it's really case by case. We also have the after hours animal control contract in Multnomah County. So every night, 365 days a year, we respond to animal emergencies in Multnomah County.
What made you want to get started with an organization like this?
Yeah, so I was a 911 dispatcher in Multnomah County for about 11 years. I just had my last day there in July. And just working there, you know, I did work a lot of nights, and we get a lot of calls for animals, injured animals, injured stray, injured wildlife, all kinds of situations, even animals kind of in tricky situations where they're, you know, caught in the fence or things like that. And there wasn't a lot of resources. And it was hard to not be able to help people with what to do or where to send them. So I got a city grant about 7 years ago to start working on this program. And it's changed a lot. There's a lot of, not necessarily, I don't want to use the word red tape, but it's tricky, right? Anytime you're dealing with transporting animals or handling them, you know, getting insurance, all those kinds of things that go into it. But that's kind of, I saw a need, a gap in services, and need for a resource. So that's kind of what started it.
How dangerous is this type of work? Because you could be working with, well, you say you work with wild animals and also pets, but, you know, it could be dangerous, right? Probably is quite dangerous.
Absolutely. And so, you know, what we do, we interview people. We have a very small team. We have a lot of safety equipment. We do train, but at the same time, there's so many situations that you can't really prepare for, and you just sort of figure it out in the moment with different kinds of equipment. We have we have insurance. I know we're going to talk about it later, but the Oregon Humane Society Tech Rescue Team, it's also a team I'm with, and we do any kind of emergency that needs rope rescues, or technical rescue or confined spaces. And so we do work with that team a lot as well, especially when it's the safety risk is higher, and it's a lot bigger of an operation. And we just are very, very careful. And if it's not safe for us to do and it puts anyone in danger, we don't do it. You know, it's really first priority. Just like any first responder, our own safety comes first. because we want our team to grow and last and be respected as making good choices, right?
You said you were a 911 dispatcher. So what kind of help was being a 911 dispatcher for you when you moved to helping animals?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, having the connection at the local dispatch agency, it was nice. So I kind of got to be a liaison for those other partner agencies like the OSTAR team. And so people sort of, when they weren't sure who to send someone to, they might reach out to me or they might ask me for certain numbers. It's just an extra piece of the puzzle, right? Having more people to contact. Where do we send this person? What do we do? And so from the dispatch chair, I could often get things to the right team a little quicker. That's another problem. You know, a lot of people get frustrated. Sometimes it takes 10 calls to get to the right person, or sometimes there's just no response that's going to happen until the morning, or, you know, we have to go get our gear. We have to, when we have a dog off cliff that we respond to, we have to get enough team members, get our gear, drive out. You know, it's a several hours response, but if we can get it to them quicker, even, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes quicker, I think it does make a difference.
We're talking today with Virginia Borden, president of OCRA, which is the On-Call Community Rescue for Animals. And with On-Call in your name, does that mean you guys are available and on-call 24 hours a day?
Yes. So we have a 24/7 phone number. Basically, I have it, or one of our other contractors have it. We've got a team of about five or six essential people on the team, and then a few volunteers. So we answer the phone all the time. If not, you leave a message and we'll get right back to you. Like I said, there are a lot of calls outside of our county contract that come in that are sort of just obscure, you know, strange situations. We get a lot of calls for abandoned farm animals or, like I said, wildlife. And so we really have to take those case by case and go through the proper sort of chain of command with local partner agencies. But we do have that phone available. We want to be able to be a resource, at least for someone to have someone to talk to and maybe get a better referral, because we know that's the most frustrating part, just not being able to talk to someone about the situation. And we'd like to help with that when we can.
If somebody does have a need, they have a pet or a wild animal that's been injured or stray or something like that, how do they get a hold of your organization to help out?
Yeah, so we have a website. The website is www.ocrapdx.org, and that's OCCRAPDX.org. And you can read all about us, how we got started, our phone number. You can also check our Facebook page. Our phone number is listed on all those. And if you need it, the phone number, it is a public number, which is actually ringing by right now.
See, we're striking up business already.
Yeah. The number is 971-645-3450. I'm going to send this one to voicemail, but I'll check it right away and get back to them. It's probably about we have two pigs that were abandoned on a property, here in Clackamas County. That we may be helping to capture and transport once a home is arranged. So, it rings all day. So no worries. Any hour of the night, you're welcome to call it. We're used to it ringing at odd hours.
A little bit ago, you mentioned OSTAR. Tell us more about OSTAR, because you're on that team too, right?
Yeah, the OSTAR team. A lot of folks don't know about it. It's a great organization to just keep on your radar, because it's been around for about 12 to 15 years. It stands for the Oregon Humane Society Technical Animal Rescue Team. So if you have a dog that's gone over a cliff, or an animal in a confined space, or we do have tree climbers for cats and trees, but we also refer to a local arborist list for the cats and trees. Really things that just need technical rescue, animals down down like conduit, or just in a situation they can't get themselves out of. We respond, and it's all volunteer based. And you can look us up online and see some of the cool calls we've gone to. It's often nasty weather, and it's usually a big dog. And one of our favorite ones It's a happy ending. We lifted a 220-pound mastiff last year that had fallen down a cliff and got him back up. His name was Roman. And he was the biggest dog I've ever seen in my life. And we had to use extra large equipment. And it was just everybody was really happy that we got him back to safety. And, you know, we have hard calls too, but definitely check us out online and see what we do and keep the number handy. Because that's also a 24/7 number.
And you say OSTAR is all a volunteer team. How do you recruit for that and train people for that?
Yeah, so we're recruiting all the time. If anyone's interested, and even if you don't have any climbing or rope experience, we do all our own in-house training. So when we recruit people, you can go to our page, the OSTAR page, just throw it in Google, and it'll bring you to our page on the Oregon Humane Society website. And it'll give you a form to fill out to apply. And when we interview, we just ask a lot of safety questions or, it's helpful to have some experience with animals. It's not necessary. Again, we do all our own in-house training, and you can go from, you know, being someone that helps carry equipment to being the person that goes over the edge and gets down to the dog. It's really up to you how far you want to go within the team. It's really like self-motivated. So we've got about 5 or 6 climbers, tree climbers and rescuers that go over the edge. But, you know, the other 25 to 30 team members, you know, they carry rope. They use our mechanical advantage systems and pulleys. And those are just as essential, if not more essential, than our rescuers, to be honest.
Do you have any idea how many animals you've rescued over the years?
That's tough. Myself, we have a rescue farm here in Oregon City, and we have about 25 animals. And again, you know, part of running a rescue is, you know, there is loss too. We take in a lot of, you know, special needs animals or that have existing, physical injuries or past neglect or illness. So we've also had a lot of loss as well. But as far as, you know, OCRA and our county contract, we've responded to about 250 to 300 animals and transports we've done in the last 6 months. So it's a pretty big number. Again, remember, a few of those are litters of kittens that don't take up a lot of room, but it does add up. And as far as OCRA outside of our county contract, I think we're right around 30 to 40 just in the last 6 months. Quite a few of those were injured wildlife. That's another tricky situation. We have to take wildlife case by case, and we have to get permission from Fish and Wildlife anytime we transport, just to stay within the statutes and the rules and the laws. We want to be a program that Fish and Wildlife and that local agencies like to work with or respect or have a good rapport with. So we have to be very careful and follow the rules.
Yeah. After you rescue these animals, where do they go? What do you do with them?
You know, so as far as our, you know, let's talk about the abandoned pigs here. So what we do is we have a relationship with several sanctuaries in the area and people just in the animal rescue community. And together, we use a lot of social media. We don't have a big following on social media yet. It grows slowly, but what we do is we send out the request to share the need for a home, a permanent home, a non-slaughter home usually for these animals. And once we have a home arranged, then we make a plan with a few volunteers, and I've got a livestock trailer, and like I said, we have a bunch of equipment. That's what all of our donations really go to, is our safety equipment, keeping our vehicle and our trailers up and safe, and getting our contractors and volunteers their safety equipment as well. You know, a good pair of bike gloves is $150 to $200. So just something like that gives people an idea. But once we have a plan in place, we'll go transport and bring them to their new home. Of course, there's always those waivers and things that make our insurance not worry so much. And then for the county calls, we transport either to Devlewis, which is an emergency vet hospital or we take them to the Multnomah County Animal Control Shelter. So those are kind of the two spots we transport to after hours.
We're talking today with Virginia Borden, president of OCRA, which is the on-call community rescue for animals. Virginia, what's the number one thing that people do in animal emergencies that you kind of wish they wouldn't do?
Yeah, and this is something we saw a lot from the dispatcher, right? When I was at 911, it's we understand the passion and the want to help that people have when they do see animals suffering or in emergency situations, right? It's that mother instinct or the survival instinct or the I'm going to just go in there no matter what. And it turns bad very quickly. I mean, we've had lots of calls where people run into busy roads or even the freeway to try and save a dog. And it turns into a traumatic injury for the person and even fatal. We've seen that several times. So I know it's so hard for people not to engage right away and try and help them themselves. But if there was one thing that we would ask people to do is to just wait, take a deep breath, make a phone call. I know it's not a quick response, but it's worth your safety to not put yourself in danger. You know, if you see an injured bird, you know, there's a lot of birds that can really hurt you. They can stretch their necks out. They can even, you know, give you really pretty significant traumatic injuries. And you wouldn't think so, but especially when an animal is injured, they're not going to be friendly. They're scared and they'll bite or they'll respond in a way you might not expect. So just try and stop and think for a moment and make some calls. Again, you're always welcome to call us. You can call, if it's an emergency, you can call 911. And then we've also seen that when we've had like dogs that fall off cliffs, owners, of course they want to save their own animal. And so they'll go over without the proper equipment. And we've seen that turn into a human rescue or a human fatality. So if we just want people to keep themselves safe, you know, and in the long run, that's going to help the animal too.
Yeah, leave it to the professionals for sure.
Yeah.
What's the most common call you guys get?
I would say the cat in the tree, absolutely. Oh, yeah. Even at 911, you know, and a lot of folks, and even in children's books, right, they'll show the fire department responding to a cat and tree. Yeah. And the fire department does not respond to cats and trees. So that is just maybe one out of every few hundred, or maybe other agencies might, if they don't have anything else going on, but I can say for how busy. You know, they have other emergency calls, but Multnomah County, Portland Fire and Rescue, those kind of agencies won't come out for the cat and tree. However, there are resources. Most cats do come down within 4 days, and that is why the OSTAR team has a 4-day wait time before we'll send a climber out. However, we have a list of local arborists that do not have that waiting period. And so we can always refer people to that list of local arborists, or you can find it on the webpage. One of the arborists that we refer to a lot, he's rescued over 500 cats and trees.
Wow.
And it's really, it's incredible to watch him do it. And he's done it a million times. So don't worry that the cat's not going to, you know, they're going to be okay. It's hard for people to leave their cat in a tree and try and sleep that night because they love their animals, of course. But I always tell people when they call, one time we rescued a cat that was stuck in a wall for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So they are hardy. A few days isn't going to be a fatal incident unless there's some other major issue going on. So
wouldn't you think that through?
Big deep breath and make calls. Yeah.
Wouldn't you think through evolution, cats would have figured out how to get themselves out of a tree quicker than that by this time?
You would think so. We've got barn cats out here, and I watch them do it, and I always tell them, I'm not on duty. Don't you get stuck up there.
Right.
But it shocks me, the situations that cats get themselves into. It's always cats. Cats and in the oddest places and walls and homes and confined areas. And I'm always like, how did you get here? Right. We should probably just write a book on all the weird cat calls we've got.
That'd be a great book. So do you think cats are probably the strangest rescues you guys do? They get themselves into pretty odd situations.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, I really do. I think that, it's always a cat when it's a tough, we have a couple people on our OSTAR team that we refer to because they've gotten really creative and we call, you know, they're sort of our cat people. Like, what are we going to do with this one? What are we going to use? Because, it's very, you have to be MacGyver for some of these calls, especially if it's, stuck down a drain or, just an unreachable area. It gets entertaining, but it's shocking how long they can stay in one place and be okay when we get them out. You know?
What's probably the best rescue you've ever done?
Oh gosh, I have a few of my favorites, but and I mentioned Roman, that big old mastiff we got up a cliff last year. But you know, another one that was pretty neat. It was in Canby, I believe, and this was with the OSTAR team, and we got a call from, there was neighbors, and they kept hearing howling from a hill, and it was a fairly steep hill between two neighborhoods that was covered in brambles and blackberries, you know, probably 10 feet, 12 feet deep in certain areas, and they didn't know what was coming from, but it's been going on over a week, and so we responded. And we could hear it too, and we knew that was a dog. So we just got the machetes out. We made a plan. I covered myself in, I'm going to forget the name of it now, but it's basically to protect you from poison oak because it was everywhere. And just went, we did a high angle rescue, went down, had the drone out, and somehow that needle in a haystack, we found this little dog. Just buried. We don't know how he got in there, but he was okay. And put him on a little harness, got him up the hill. My team pulled me up on the rope. And it was just, we need calls like that. Just, we were so elated and happy because he wasn't going to make it out of there. There's no way. So it makes all the hard calls or the calls where it's not a happy ending so much better. I think that call kept my heart just happy for a year. You know, it's worth it. And this is why we do all our training. This is why we constantly are recruiting people, is to be able to save that little guy, you know. And his owner came forward. She had no idea how he got there, but he'd been missing for over a week.
Wow.
Yeah. And you can actually look that call up. They did an article, and you can see some neat pictures of him. And he's just the happiest little, he's like an Aussie mix, little tiny thing. And he didn't have a back tail, which is tough to put we make a rescue harness out of webbing like you would on a person even. A lot of the things we do is similar to what the fire department uses for their technical rescues. But when a dog doesn't have a tail, that back harness is tough to keep on. So it was sliding off of him. So by the end, I was just basically carrying him up the hill.
Well, that's awesome. That's a very sweet story. So we've got about a minute left. Let's tell people how they can get a hold of you and how they can help you out by maybe making a donation or volunteering.
Absolutely. So when you go to our website, www.oprapdx.org, you can see what kind of volunteers we're looking for. And even if you wanted to be a contractor, we now and then add more contractors to the county contract as well. So, and you can always reach out to me or email me to talk about it and talk about your level of interest. And I'm happy to talk about the OSTAR team as well. As far as donations, right now we have our Great Pumpkin Drive going on, and this is sort of our one big fundraiser of the year. And what we do is we collect everyone's leftover pumpkins. We have two drop spots. There's one in Northeast Portland and one in Oregon City. And you can bring all your non-rotting pumpkins. It's fine if they're carved, but we collect those pumpkins and drive them around to local sanctuaries because the farm animals love the pumpkins. And it's also a fundraiser this year. So there's a link on our page You can donate. You can donate pumpkins. You can buy a t-shirt. We've got some great little t-shirt designs on Bonfire. And all of the fundraising, all the donations, it gets split between the four sanctuaries that we're supporting this year. And that is the Oregon Donkey Sanctuary in Oregon City, the Rewild Farm Sanctuary up in Kingston, Washington, Out to Pasture in Estacada, and Wildwood Farm Sanctuary in Newburgh.
Well, Virginia,
so that's a great way to support us this year.
Yeah. It's obvious that you're an animal lover and you love what you do with animals. That's great.
Thank you. I do. I do. And I appreciate people that care and make those calls. We appreciate the community trying to get them help too.
We've been talking today with Virginia Borden, president of OCRA, On-Call Community Rescue for Animals. Thanks, Virginia.
If you'd like to hear this interview again, just search for Let's Talk Portland on the Odyssey app. Let's Talk Portland is an Odyssey Portland public affairs program.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.